In the last 24 hours or so, the head of the Center on Disease Control, Rochelle Walensky, set social media on fire, particularly for communities with disabilities. When she appeared to celebrate the encouraging news that the overwhelming number of deaths, over 75% of those with the latest variant of COVID-19, Omicron, happened in people who have at least four comorbidities. That is, disabled folks with pre-existing conditions. Many people felt that this was another way of celebrating the deaths of people with disabilities, and that it had an icky resonance with the ugly tradition of eugenics. Now, there's no time in human history when the entire country, the entire world, has turned its collective attention to such issues of health and social justice as they have today. And there's no discipline that is more concerned with the intersection of these health and social justice than the discipline of disability studies. Now, I know that many of you have had some experience with disability studies. You may have taken courses with me or with others. And for some of you, this will be your very first time in, as we explore these ideas in this class, will be your very first time thinking about disability in a different way through the interdisciplinary lens and lenses that disability studies invites us to use. I want to welcome all of you to this special seminar on disability history. Now, regardless of your experience with the concepts that we umbrella under disability studies, I can think of no better, no more important time to bring our attention to these concerns. In this unprecedented moment in history that we find ourselves together in, and you simply could not have chosen a better time to take this class. Now, during this course, I'm going to invite you to make connections between what we see and hear happening in the news and around the world that we may connect to these issues of disability, social justice, health, and the body more generally, and to bring that into our discussions. In this very short hello, this podcast, I want to just very quickly review a couple of logistical nuts and bolts of the class. Now, I gave you, hopefully you all now have access to the course syllabus in your Canvas site, and this syllabus is pretty big, pretty unwieldy, and I know that it can appear intimidating, which is why I wanted to reach out and make sure that you have a brief overview of the key things that you're going to need to know for the course. There are many things that have been we've been asked to add into those syllabuses that are not necessarily relevant to us. Since we're not meeting physically, there's a great many things about current concerns about protocol with COVID-19 that aren't relevant to us. But nonetheless, please make sure that you do read through that syllabus, and I'm going to take a moment right now to highlight some things for you. Now, I'll be seeing all of you and talking with you on our discussion board. One of the most exciting things about this course is that it brings together students from such dramatically different backgrounds. And all too often in our disciplines, we get siloed, and we only have courses with people sometimes studying the same thing that we are. And as I look over this roster, I'm very excited to see that we have representatives from such dramatically different disciplines, that our cohort is truly ripe for cross-pollination. So many different disciplines, creative arts, business, psychology, social work, education, English, healthcare. So again, I have no doubt there'll be a great deal of useful cross-pollination from the sharing of ideas with our very different academic and professional backgrounds. And I want to turn to these few logistical things in the course to mention. Now, you all presumably now have your accounts in the Canvas course site that we'll be using. The main part of our weekly communication with each other will be the discussion board. Now, this is where you should all post your introduction about yourself if you haven't done so already. These discussions in this discussion board, you can find this along the left menu inside of Canvas, these discussions will be the backbone of our weekly sessions. Since we'll not be meeting live, all of our discussions will be asynchronously. And these discussion board, this discussion board will be a key hub for us to connect with one another. And I'm going to encourage you to make sure that you read each other's posts so that we can all have kind of be in the same flow with each other in our larger ongoing conversation. It never ceases to amaze me that a group of people who have never met and we might never meet, at least in this entire term, that nonetheless we can form a real, genuine community of inquiry with each other, sharing our discoveries and sometimes, if relevant, very personal experiences. So it goes without saying that this course and our discussion boards, it's a safe space for us to share our ideas and to take intellectual risks as we play with and explore these concepts together. Now, basically, this is how it will work each week. I'll be posting a couple of prompts that will guide you in your response to our shared readings and viewings for that week. And we'll meet together in the discussion board to talk those out and to work through those ideas. One other part of the course site that we'll be spending a great deal of using quite a bit, you'll see the modules along your left menu. Right now, the first module is open. This is where I'll be posting the materials related to our module in question that week. Again, this will be the readings, the viewings, and any related activities for that particular week. And this will mirror the syllabus that you've been provided. Occasionally, when I make updates, they'll be here in the module. It's your go-to place to ensure that you have the correct URLs for viewings, that you have the most recent readings, etc. So each week, that module will really give you the bird's-eye picture of everything you'll need to know for that particular week. One other thing I want to mention. I see that some of you have started responding to your surveys. Thank you very much. And I'm really enjoying getting a chance to get to know and get a little better sense of you and your interests and experience. If you have not completed your survey yet, please do it now. Go ahead and pause and complete it and come back. Now, with a lot of the rich professional experiences and interests that many of you are talking about in your surveys, as relevant to our discussions, I encourage you to bring those in to our discussion boards and let those enrich this larger investigation we'll be doing. Now, even though the course has just begun, I want to say a couple of words about your final projects. I encourage you with these to think about ways that you can make connections to your interests, to your academic and professional aspirations. And while the default final project in the course is a written essay. I encourage you to please feel free to propose really any form that you think best meets your needs. Now, example of projects that students have previously done, in addition to papers, these have included campus presentations, lesson planning, short films, family oral histories, artwork, and podcasts. And of course, you'll have the option of a traditional paper as well. Okay, one other nuts and bolts element to share. As you're doing these prompts throughout the term, these responses to one another and to the readings and viewings, these responses that you do can be of any length at all. Now, in the course of the term, over the entire term, you will have five of those full responses that you're doing during the term, five of them will be considered your critical responses. Sometimes you might see those referred to as critical analyses. Now, those will just be slightly longer than the others in general, and will be a bit more structured. And they'll be at least 400 words. Now, to clarify, these are not additional work to the responses you're already doing. You're simply identifying, during the term, with all of your responses, five of them that are going to be, you're considering, your critical responses. And you'll just be asked to identify which those are. We'll be coming back to that through the term, but I just wanted to mention it again. I look forward to you being very active in these boards and responding to whatever moves you and any questions that you have for each other or things you want to note about each other's posts. And again, those can be of any length. And during the term, you will have five total responses that will be considered, again, your critical responses. It'll be slightly longer and more structured, and at least 400 words, and you'll identify which of those you'd like to have be your critical responses. Okay, so that's the way that will work. So again, those responses can be any length whatsoever, even just short affirmations about somebody's post or a question. And at the same time, you'll have those five more structured responses that we call our critical responses or critical analyses. And each of those will be at least 400 words, and you'll identify them as a critical response. So again, those are not in addition to what you're doing. You'll simply be identifying some of those to be critical responses. Now, be sure to review your syllabus, and always feel free to touch base with me if you have any questions or you need any clarification on anything as we go forward together. So this is just a short note for now, going over some of our logistics and welcoming you to this class. Again, you could not have chosen a better time to be looking at the history of disability in a social justice context than you have today. And I'm really glad that we'll be taking this journey together. And I look forward to talking to you soon. Bye for now.